an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Well, it's been a huge year for black journalism, and particularly the NITV News and the Current Affairs team. I'm speaking now to the triple OG, Carla Grant herself, eh? KG.
How you going, Danny?
Good there, boss. And the boy from Bourke Down Good, Chris Rowe. We're going to have a chat to reflect on, I guess, what the point and Living Blackstone in 2018, and give us a little bit of a sneak peek into 2019.
Sounds good.
So welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. Your house.
Yeah.
I know. Thought this was a good idea. Put an unfiltered mic in front of this fellow. Must have more lawyers on duty than I thought.
Don't worry. HR's got a little hole in the roof where they can keep an eye on me. So don't worry. We're under control. Hey, just before we get into the yarn, I guess, of Living Black and the point and what we've been up to this year. What was your first ever job in media, KG? What was your first ever role as a young
It was
tapper?
Actually on radio.
Really?
2XX Community Radio in Canberra.
2XX?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and I did the Aboriginal radio program each week. So it was a one-hour show. And I interviewed anyone who was in town and, you know, politicians or, you know, community leaders. Played the old vinyls as well.
Yeah,
had
right.
about four records. Wurrumpi Band and Uncle Jimmy.
Should you explain
Uncle
what a
Jimmy
record is for the listeners?
For our young
those
listeners.
Those round black things with a little hole in the middle. Uncle Jimmy Little, Royal Telephone, used to play that one a few times. Oriel Andrew, the Chocolate Princess, they called her, yeah.
And what made you want to get into media? What made you say, I want to go work in media?
Oh, well, when I was growing up in Adelaide, I just always wanted to be a reporter. And, you know, I saw a lot of stuff, you know, growing up in Adelaide. It's quite a racist town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, saw a lot of injustices, you know, done to our people and my family as well. So, you know, I just wanted to be a part of doing something about it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear. I've never actually asked you that before, so it's very nice to hear. Oh, 2XX these days. I know this fella's old yarn. Rowie, what was your first ever job in media?
Radio
the
too.
Boy from Bourke, population of about 200.
Oh, come on. 3,500.
3,500.
It's down to 2,000 now. But
the mob have been breeding. But what was your first ever job in media?
Community Radio 2, Outback Radio 2WEB, back at Bourke, broadcasting all over the Wild West.
Can you do me a radio voice?
Well, back then we had a show. Me and my friend Emma had a afternoon radio show, and she called herself Surge B. Groover, and I was C-Row. So C-Row and Surge in the afternoon from... Hey, it was the 90s. Come on. Just top 40
and
stuff.
Oh, C-Row.
Yeah, that's the C-Row and Surge B. Groover. Outback Radio 2W, Hebe, as we call it out there.
Oh, Hebe. I can't wait to tell Jaden this after the show. Jaden Perry, if you're listening. C-Row's in the house. Okay, let's talk about the point. You know, it's a program that we've all been building for about 3-4 years now, I think, from the early days. How's it been for you both? I think the show and the team has really flourished under your leadership. But how's it been sort of working on the point over the last couple of years and seeing the growth of our little baby?
It's been great. I mean, the show really has evolved in the last 3 years. You know, it started off being a program hosted by Stan Grant, and then the second year we had, you know, five different hosts over each night of the week up until, you know, and this year we've reformatted the program to a one-hour, you know, once-a-week show with Rach and JP at the helm, and I think they've done a tremendous job. They've really got great chemistry, and the format's great, I think. You know, we've got Nat with the news, so they all, you know, I think the chemistry's great between all of them, and social media, you know, we've had a few people in that role this year, you know, growing people like Travis Cardona, you know, he's a fantastic talent, you know, Luana as well.
Yep. Little Lowy there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Grayson as well, and a few other people. So, yeah, it's been great. It's really, you know, great experience this year working with the team and really helping them to grow and build the show and to get it to where it is, you know, to this point and, you know, go up another level next year.
Yeah. It's been hard work. Like, you know, from where we came with NITV News, we were doing a daily news bulletin 5 nights a week with a small team. And as you remember, Danny, it was hard yakka, you know, like just filling that program, and you just felt you were chasing your tail with the limited resources that we had, stories breaking all the time. And what we really wanted to do was get out in front of those stories and start to set the agenda.
Yep.
And so that was why we changed to the Point program. Even then, doing the 5-night-a-week thing, it's hard to be anything but reactive because you've got to react to the story of the day. And so that was why, in the end, we went to this once-a-week format. And it's really helped us just to go, okay, this week we know that we've got a Closing the Gap report coming out. So in the days leading up to that, we're going to put together a whole stack of stories investigating this. We'll get the right guests on the program, and we're going to lead the conversation around this. And that's what we really want to do. And I felt in this last 12 months, that's where we've got to a point where we've actually started to do that a little bit, which is great.
Mm. Mm. We've had some really tough shows this year and last year as well. We tackle some really hard issues that are quite confronting for a lot of people. Can you tell people the thought process when we do these shows? So it's on suicide or incarceration. What's the thought process that goes into the planning in terms of a cultural sense to how we tell these stories?
Mm. As you mentioned, we have, covered a lot of tough topics: child protection, youth justice, deaths in custody. These are all issues that face Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today, and they have for a very long time. And unfortunately, a lot of this stuff hasn't changed. We've been, us mob have been reporting on these things for years now. So we've just got to, keep these things on the agenda, keep on pushing away. And, we have seen some, media is a powerful tool. And we have made some, made an impact, especially with the story that we did on the Stolen Generation criminal records.
Yep.
It just shows the power of the media, and that we can make an impact and make a difference.
Yep. Mm.
So these are the things that we think about when we're putting shows together.
It's interesting too how you can work with a theme. So we did the Winds of Zenith program, and obviously that was programmed, that was worked out a long time ahead of time. We wanted to cover the event, celebrate with the TSI mob up there on Thursday Island, an amazing spectacle and just all positivity, laughter. But what happened that week in the news was we had the Barrowville decision, and we had a decision on Tani Chatfield as well. And so we had a live cross built into that program with his family out there in, I think, outside Tamworth Correctional Centre. We had obviously the frustration and the tears of what happened with Barrowville. And we were able to build that into a program that had that celebration with TSI. But there was the sadness as well. So it was interesting the way that show worked.
Yeah.
It balanced that sadness with the celebration. And the TSI mob, of course, put their hearts out there for the mob in New South Wales as well. And it was really interesting to see how it was able to walk that line.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. We do have to take the good, bad and the ugly. And there's so much diverse things happening in our community that, we have to respond to them, and it sort of doesn't matter, does it?
And sometimes music's a really good way to do that. Like with when we did the Deaths in Custody episode, that was probably the heaviest episode we did this year. And, I think a lot of us really felt it in the lead up to that show. And it just so happened that we had Gambira Mob locked in to come in and perform. And she said, I'll write you a song. And obviously you were there, Danny, standing with her in the studio, and she performed this song that she'd written that week. And it was simple, it was beautiful, it was powerful, and there was just healing in amongst that heavy program. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was very beautiful. And like it says, that the hard stories do take it out of us. How do we look after each other when we do have to tell these hard stories? I think it's very important for Black journos, because I think it's so personal what we go through when we tell our stories, because it's usually happened to an uncle or an aunt or a cousin or a little brother or something. And how do we look after each other in the newsroom when we have to tell these really hard stories?
It's really about communication, I think. We have to constantly, we keep on talking to each other all the time to check in with each other and make sure, hey, how are you going? How are you coping with it? And sometimes these things are issues that have affected us personally as well. So it does touch us personally. It's about talking to each other, checking in with each other.
Mm. I think just acknowledging that we know that it's hard, and that's okay. because as you say, as a journalist, you're out there in contact with some pretty heavy stories, and you'll spend a week working on something so intensely and speaking with families who have gone through terrible trauma, and then the next week, bang, you're on to the next story, you know, and you just keep building up this weight of grief that you can carry with you as a journalist, and you either wall yourself off from it or you let it overwhelm you, you know. And I think just the process of acknowledging that and saying, normalizing mental health, I think is just so important, just to have conversations around it. And so, you know, I've had battles with mental health in the past, and it's being honest about that with our staff and our journalists and say, hey, you know, sometimes I get sad too, and how can we support you?
Yeah, I think it's, because I just want to, I'm not saying Black journos are martyrs or anything like that, but I think it's always good to put into context for our non-Indigenous listeners just the difference between our journos and mainstream journos and what we go through as a team. But that said, and talking about journalism, strong Black journalism, Living Black, our longest ever running current affairs show, I believe.
Yes.
In Australian TV history. And that's where you're the Triple OG. it's had another great year. Some more great stories and some more great one-on-one interviews that I've played on this show myself. How's Living Black been this year?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, doing the one-on-one interviews, I really enjoy doing those. You know, Kevin Rudd earlier this year, obviously it's the 10th year of the 10th anniversary of the National Apology, so I interviewed him. Warren Mundine was an interesting interview. Thomas Mayer. Also, Samantha Harris was great. You know, I speak to a lot of politicians and leaders, but it's also good to speak to people who are in other vocations as well. I think the most touching interview for me would have been with Joey Williams, you know, of course, you know, ex-NRL player and world champion boxer. He spoke about his battles with mental health and depression.
He's very open and honest.
Yeah, he was just so courageous in that interview, speaking from the heart and very, you know, honestly and openly. So I really thank him for that. But I got a lot of feedback from that interview. And as Roey just said, you know, normalising, you know, talking about mental health issues, it's not, you know...
A lot of us go through it.
Yeah,
You know, it's nothing to be
ashamed
of.
There's no shame in talking about it, so...
Yeah, and I think, and that's what Joey's trying to achieve, I think, is to get more people talking about it, hopefully lessen the things like suicide and things like that happening in our community, and that's why these shows are so vitally important, so...
I think just on what we do... with Living Black as well, the way different communities and stories are represented and that time is given to them. Like, so for me personally, Chris Flanders' story on Percy Hobson is one. I'm from Bourke. Percy Hobson was the first black fella to win a Commonwealth gold medal.
Yep.
And it was an unknown story. I knew it because I grew up in Bourke.
I went to
school with his nieces and nephews and we're all proud of him in Bourke. But even a lot of people there don't know that story. And for me to see that old vision and see him interviewed, like, it just blew my mind. It was really emotional for me, and I know for everyone in Bourke too, you know. Like, people were all watching and just so proud.
It was interesting that they had aired, I think, Cole Vanderkuyt, one of the most loveliest men in the world. Shout out to you, brother. He believed Kathy were always the first to go off and to be the first Commonwealth Games reps win the golds and stuff like that. And he goes, through watching that story, he goes, I've found out that Percy's the first. And Kyle went and saw Percy, and visited him and had a big yarn to him and stuff like that, you know. So it's just a beautiful work, a beautiful story, and another great yarn from Flander who, you know, brings us some really unique stories from out there in our communities.
Definitely.
Going forward into 2019, what can we expect to see on our screens in terms of The Point and Living Black and NITV News?
Well, Rach and JP are back, which is good.
Yeah.
So for two years in a row, we've got
jobs
the same
next
lineup.
Year, guys.
I just think they compliment each other. It's a big brother, little sister sort of thing for me, you know. And shout out to you, JP, my Devon Heaven brother. hope you're having a good day. But I think they do really compliment each other well. Rachel's just a young, fiery, very empowering young woman. I call her my big sister, even though she's 20 years younger than me.
I was going to say, there's about 25 years difference between Rach and JP, and yet they, in some way, they come across as almost the same age.
It's called maturity.
Yeah, is that right? Okay, and so JP doesn't have it and Rachel does?
I just think that's a science that says maybe us men aren't as mature as the ladies. So I got taught that in year six, I think.
Right.
But yeah. Love you, JP. Shout out.
No, it's great to have them back, you know, and I really think their on-air relationship has grown, which is really good. They both obviously care so much about community. JP brings this wealth of knowledge and experience about having worked for so long back in ATSIC days with IATSIS. Obviously, he's part of the NAIDOC committee, and you know, he just brings that wealth of knowledge. And there's just a real inquiring energy about Rachel too. I think, you know, yeah. She's very charismatic on screen. She gets very passionate about things, and yeah, she's a great storyteller. So I think it's been fantastic having the two of them. And then obviously Natalie R. Matt, who's the veteran of NITV News, yep. Just brings that that strength and again that depth of knowledge. Just sharing the news of the week and putting it in context. It's great to allow her to be a bit more conversational too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And for you, KG?
Yeah, no, I agree with Roey. You know, I think JP and Rachel have a, you know, fantastic relationship on air, you know, great chemistry, you know, and then, you know, they complement each other, and also having Nat there as well, you know, as Roey said, she is a veteran of NITV News, so she brings that credibility and authority, yeah. and knowledge about news and current affairs. So it's a great team, and, you know, we've got a great team behind us as well. The production team are fantastic. All the people that work behind the scenes, you know, work day in and day out to make that show happen.
On the Friday show, I read out the whole team's names.
Shout out to Di and Joel and, you know, Ross and all the editors. The editors do a fantastic job. Yeah, Maggie, Mike, Jordan. Everyone behind the scenes, we couldn't do it without them.
No. Well, congratulations on a massive 2018. You know, we've really made a difference this year, I believe, the point, and Living Black, and that's certainly been recognised with some awards out there and the big awards world with people getting recognised. But I just want to thank you too for your leadership. I think that the team flourishes under, they trust you, and I think going forward we're just going to be bigger, better and blacker, and hopefully get some more justice and some more stories out there for our community. So just want to thank you both from my heart to yours. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you, Danny. Yeah. Thank you for your support as well. And we do miss you from the team.
I'm always an Inaka boy.
Still part of the team.
Still part of the team.
Now, KG, just before we let you go, as I do with all my guests, I've asked you to request a song. Can you tell me what the song is and why you wanted it?
The song is Treaty by Yothu Yindi.
Why don't I get a song?
Hey, next time.
No song for the white boy.
Next up is Migaloo by
I think in this current climate with, you know, our mob looking towards a treaty or treaties, and with what's happened with, you know, down in Victoria, I think it's very appropriate.
Yeah. True that. Well, next year's NAIDOC theme is Voice Treaty Truth. Here's Yothu Yindi, meaning mother and child, with Treaty.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.